Welcome to iCubed Advisors post-PBSA annual conference recap. I'm Kevin Bachman of iCubed Advisors, joined by Jason Morris and Bianca Lager. We're excited to spend some time with you talking about the sights, the sounds, what we saw, what we heard in Boston. Jason, Bianca, awesome show from my vantage point. What's your guys' takeaway leaving Boston?
First of all, I've only been to Boston probably four or five times in my life, and it's always been for quick in and out trips. And I got to tell you, I really enjoyed the city. I didn't get to see as much of it as I wanted to. But from what I did see, especially the night that Ipocek took us to the ballpark to see the Red Sox, was incredible. Our Fenway is truly spectacular. So, and it's a lot of the same character you see in the city you see in that ballpark. It was awesome.
Yeah, 100%. Such a highlight was going to Fenway. It was, especially because I woke up that morning and had no idea that's where I'd be that evening. That's always so fun. No, Ipocek treated us so well, just got the full VIP suite treatment, but also, you know, just being at such a historic place, that whole area around Fenway, like what a cool part of Boston. The city is just so vibrant, and like that stadium just pops off. Like it was such a fun, like energetic atmosphere. I mean, it helped that the Red Sox hit a couple homers and things like that, but total highlight.
I think the city and Fenway specifically were the big home runs of the week. Pun intended right there. I had bought tickets early and had planned. I'd been looking forward. I hadn't been to Fenway in 35 years. I'm a huge baseball fan. And even as a Yankee fan, I just respect that stadium and what that uniform means. And a couple people I was going to bring, it fell through. And I said, hey, am I going to scramble at the last minute? Or am I just going to take like 3 hours off from, you know, we are on start to finish when we go to a show, right? And I'm like, you know what? I'm a baseball fan. I'm just going to go. And it's just going to be me. And yeah, I got to see Fenway for the first time in decades. I was watching the Yankee game on my phone. And the first baseman threw a ball into the stands like after the first inning, and I caught it. And I didn't have to elbow a 9-year-old kid out of the way to get it, because that would go viral and I'd have to live in a cave if that happened. So yeah, that was pretty good day for me. But conference, right? Venue, food, exhibit hall. What do you guys think?
I'll talk on a more macro level. You know, I'm always one to complain about the hotel, and especially, you know, the one we use for the mid-year, we've had to use for so many years and the place sucks. This hotel is awesome. The fact that it had a vibrant bar on the second floor, which is key to this conference, the amount of business that happens in the bar versus in the conference hall and everything else is extraordinary. And the setup they had for that was, I would say, almost as perfect as you can get. So that part of it was fantastic. The fact that it was open all the time also, which is rare in a hotel, was also fantastic. The food that, they served for dinner and appetizers and lunch, food was great. No complaints there. If anything, I would tone down the lunchtime and just do sandwiches. It makes it easier to walk around and talk to people while you're eating a sandwich, not having to carry around a plate and find a place to chat. But I've been told by the higher ups of PBSA that some people really like to have more of a formal lunch. So I get the reasoning. But for me personally, I like a sandwich. How about you, Bianca?
Well, the mac and cheese made great conversation starters. So I think, I'm going to push back there for you just a little bit. Plus, you just need those carbs after that, the long hours spent in that yard house, which I put in some hours, especially after taking a red eye and just being completely delirious a little bit on Sunday. But yeah, I agree. Like, such a good setup. I love a hotel where you don't, it's like, not like a Gaylord where it's just massive. So it's not like you're walking a million, you know, miles away, or Vegas or something like that. I mean, that's kind of fun too, but it's just nice when everything's nice and tidy and neat and accessible and easy. I think the elephant in the room here, though, is the exhibit hall flow, let's say, which I probably, people heard me repeat many times, it felt like a house party. Which like I wasn't against because it was like you're like, oh, what's going on in that room? What's going on in that room? Who's in the basement? Who's outside? It felt very like just segmented, which we're a little more used to like open space in general. So it had its pros and cons, but it was certainly a hot topic of
Yeah, people
conversation.
were, I think people coming in, they knew what the situation was because they knew it was going to be a problem. And I was talking to some PBSA peeps about it, and
Yeah.
going in, they knew there would be some complaints. I thought it was great. I thought the way it was set up forced me to stay in that area. It
Yeah,
forced
true.
me to walk around. I talked to more people than I normally do. It didn't feel so overwhelming. Like you look at a conference hall, it's 15 different rows and 10 different booths in each row. It's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
This felt more like it was segmented. It was kind of a different approach. I personally, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, my hot take, and probably more of a medium take now because Jason feels the same way. I liked it. I had that same first 10 minutes of bewilderment that everybody else did. But I really enjoyed it for the reasons both of you shared. I also like not as an attendee, not feeling so much like a fish in a fish tank, where you're just walking through the exhibit hall. And yeah, this is the sixth time I've walked by you and you see me and I see you and we still don't have anything to talk about. Like that awkwardness is kind of gone. I really liked it. And certainly shout out to PBSA staff. Great selection. Front desk was great. I think many of us that got there early were able to get a room, which for us hosting our happy hour is really important to be able to get in a couple hours early. And I think many people were looking forward to Boston because this show was canceled during COVID. So there was that built up anticipation, especially those of us that are baseball fans. Again, just a home run all the way around the city, the staff, and the property.
I mean, even the proximity of the elevators to the exhibit hall, the fact that it was on different floors is actually more convenient, not less convenient. It was less walking to get everywhere.
I still went to the wrong floor every single day. Like, nope, gotta go down. Nope, gotta go up.
Yeah.
And honestly, I know exhibitors often will complain about this and complain about that. From an attendee standpoint, I think that the staff kills it. I think they did a
Yeah.
great job. Whatever issues there are, most importantly, we didn't see them or notice them.
Sure.
The staff was walking around, they were talking to people. I just can't say enough good things about how the whole thing, went down from a macro level.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm sure there were 10 things on staff side. They're like, oh man, or oh, we should have, oh, we're behind. Like, listen, if we don't see it, it doesn't happen and it's not important. And I didn't notice anything.
No, yeah, that's you can tell so much from any event by the way the staff is sort of just maintaining and keeping their cool and not running around. I know I've been an absolute psycho on the back end of conferences before setting up production. So seeing everybody happy and pleased and everything going smooth, it always is like that. And I feel like that's always the feedback I hear, when I'm chatting with people at lunch or whatever else. It's just, yes, food's great, no exception there. And having just like a really well-organized, like pretty smooth event pretty much every single time. Shout out PBSA staff, just killing it as always.
And
The only thing that
Jason.
continues to suck about conferences at Marriott's is their Pepsi hotels, not Coca-Cola hotels. And man, there's nothing
Yes.
worse than a Diet Pepsi.
Truly, truer words have never been spoken. So true.
Well, to Jason's point about attendance, I think PBSA reported, over 200 first-time members, over 800
Yeah.
total members. And those of us coming off the mid-year where attendance was down, and I call it the three strikes, I will try to not make baseball references the entire
It's
podcast,
okay,
but
Kevin. It's okay.
it's just what I do. The mid-year, and many of us were just really down on the mid-year, right? Over 40% of the attendees were exhibitors. That's not a good ratio for those guys, but it was three strikes at the mid-year. Jewish holiday, spring break for a lot of families, and no Pam. And I think Pam Dibata is a huge draw for a lot of companies that don't really get access or insight to top level, legal. And that, of course, the other attorneys in the space who speak. But yeah, just a lot of glass half empty opinions, mine included, coming out of the mid-year. And I couldn't feel 180, I feel 180 degrees different coming out of Boston.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Usually right after the conference, there's a survey that's sent out. I never got a survey for this one.
They sent one very early. So I think you probably would have gotten a Wednesday, if not Tuesday night.
Oh, interesting.
I got it right away. I got it right away.
I deleted it.
Sights, sounds. What sticks out? What do we want to hop to next?
Well, you know, I think, well, the attendance was up and that was noticeable. The people, and then, again, that was somewhat that was a catalyst of the smaller, more intimate exhibit hall. It felt bigger, which I thought was kind of cool. A lot of lawyers, a lot of private equity guys were there. I thought that I also saw and met a lot of new people. A lot of new people getting into this business. Some people that have recently purchased companies in the background screening space that were there. And I also saw, and I looked at the attendee list again, and Kevin, we'd have to analyze this, but it seems like more companies brought more people than they normally do.
I saw that.
Yeah, so that's something I like to analyze. And another thing, you know, I thought it would be kind of cool, too, to take some of these, take some of the attendee lists from the last couple of conferences and look at our industry report and compare companies that consistently go to companies that are growing in the industry.
Oh, sure,
so
sure.
That might be a cool topic or a cool data point to pull out.
We've done that. I've done that before with vendors, and you can look at the books 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and night and day. Of course, there's a handful of core companies that remain, but if, you know, no better way to look at entrants and exits in the industry than to look at what you just said, attendees and sponsors over the years.
What do you think, Bianca?
I mean, I think it's so interesting when you think about COVID and just like how it affected people's marketing budgets in general, right? Like, I think that there is this time period where, I mean, of course, like naturally we couldn't move around the world. I mean, and this is just even outside our industry, but really like 2024 has been like the COVID coming out party for everybody, and kind of these events are like back on the map, and it's so nice to see that happening. But yeah, I think that specifically it speaks really powerfully to businesses that had like a super strong presence and, you know, came back even despite mid-year. I mean, there could have been a lot of hesitations, and I know I did hear from some companies that because of that experience, they were kind of hesitant to come back even for annual, even though it's a totally different vibe. It always is, you know? So I just really appreciated like how much time and effort the exhibitors also put into, you know, the way that they showed up. Axio, that's cool. Virtual booth, like super cool concept. I love the creativity there and just the interactiveness. I really think COVID like has forced a lot of the vendors, especially, to kind of come out and do something cool and different to make it a really big immersive experience. Right. I mean, you know, we love to see the ferret. We love to see, you know, fun things around, playing marbles. Like there's really, fun and cool things. And so I think, yeah, there's got to be a correlation between, and I mean, I don't have the data points on it, but like between that activity and that marketing activity and really engaging, not just with prospects, but your customers that are potentially there, your partners, your people that you need to kind of keep these strong relationships with. I mean, it's certainly the way that, I mean, I'm still here going to PBSA is because of PBSA annual conference and going, and I always say shaking babies and kissing hands. You know what I mean?
How about some exhibit hall shout outs? Anything really cool that you saw? I know that I wanted to call out Latin American backgrounds because you helped them with their booth and you helped them with their design. And they really kind of came out. This is the first time exhibiting and they really came out strong.
Yeah, I mean, good theme, and I'm sure we'll jump to that eventually, but one of the themes that stuck out to me, I mean, it has been like this for a while, but very much this year and much more organically, I would say, is the international, you know, screening presence. Markets in general. Yep. So having that Latin America like presence and really showing that I think the trends and the data in the iCube industry report really shows that there is such an opportunity for revenue growth there. And, you know, we know about APAC, we know about Europe, we know that those are kind of a little bit more well-established, but Latin America is right there and kind of coming in, I think, super hot in terms of an opportunity for folks to grow their revenue stream. And also just an opportunity to make sure that you have people who know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Who know what they're
Yeah.
doing in these complicated areas. And so, yeah, I mean, I got a pair of Havaiana Brazilian flip-flops. I got some candy. I still have like a bunch of South American candy. I didn't have cash. I felt so bad. I had to like tip the valet guy with a bag of South American. It was great.
to your comments around, like the globe is expanding in a bunch of different ways, and historically in our space, and you're right, you referenced the webinar we did, a week or so with them. Traditionally, international screening is like, oh, well, I'm a US-based company and I'm hiring an executive, and they used to work in Brussels, but now they're moving to Manhattan. So I got to do all that international stuff now. And where we see the opportunity, and what we are hearing from partners in the space, is, yeah, that stuff still happens, but it's also like, hey, I'm opening a facility in Guatemala, or I do a lot of work in APAC and I have factories there. Like, I should probably screen them the same way. And that is where I'm most bullish on future revenue growth in the space, and better risk protection, and all of the things that come with quality screening. I noticed that as well. I noticed the expanded industry presence, and I couldn't be happier to see it. What are you booths, by the way? Oh, go ahead, Jason.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, booths you mentioned. One that I thought of, and Bianca brought up the marbles, right? I thought SPI Researchers booth, the purple booth,
Yeah.
sparkled.
Sparkle.
And like, I thought that booth really popped. They had a couple, comments and little taglines, which I thought was cool.
Really well done.
And the marbles were a shout out to Andy Cashman and a former colleague of ours. Though that was his son's marble set, and it was cool to hear him talk about his son and his son's interests, and like, Dad, are they playing with my marbles? That did not come out the way I meant it, but on not intended. But it was like a
Flip it.
series of if thens in the court system, and that's what the marble game was. Oh, it's gonna go this way, it's gonna go that way, or whatever. But a lot of people are going to have a lot of fun at my expense listening to what I just said there. That's
Yeah,
okay.
I was
That
going to
one,
do.
don't
I
worry.
was going to shout out the small wholesalers too that had a presence this year, like SPI.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some announcements for Informed Data. There's a little blood in the water that everybody's smelling, and they're upping their presence a little bit, and they're going to try to gain some market share there. So, kudos to them for stepping up. Bianca, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, again, like I love the virtual booth at Axio. I really liked that concept just in terms of like, let's give like everybody a different experience, but also just like I appreciated the open space right there, to kind of like be able to see people, see what was going on around the corner. I kept imagining a proper booth there, and there would have been so it just would have been a little more difficult to navigate through that space. So yeah, I mean, those were the total highlights for me. And again, like the creativity, like I just like, high fives all around to marketing teams throughout the exhibit hall that had a little bit of fun with people coming into the booth and kind of some interactive stuff. It all whenever you're walking through, like yeah, like Kevin said, it's like you do a couple laps, you see the same people, but to go and like try something new and try something different every time, like it helps open up conversations, I think, to new people that you wouldn't have otherwise met. So well done.
Yeah, I'm looking at the floor plan right now to see if there's any others that we kind of noticed and wanted to shout out. Yeah, I thought that back corner, normally it's like, oh man, you're in the back corner, you don't have the points. You're kind of get the last pick. And I know a lot of the companies that kind of had that last pick, and that was the joined Accurate Background, SPI, Argyle kind of corner. That
Yeah.
looking at a map, you're like, oh man. But it was right next to Osseo. I thought Osseo was a great draw.
Yeah.
iCover is over in that space. Abbott was as well, and that was a poppin' part
Was a poppin' little
of the
corner.
conference. Yeah.
Yeah. No, back to the point of like the flow, it really did like it really did change up the kind of hot spots and really didn't there really wasn't dead spots. You
Yes.
know, there really wasn't like those kind of dead quiet spots. So I mean, all in all,
Yeah.
like I think a win. I think a W on the
And
kind of weird flow.
Yeah, and a couple people that weren't there or hadn't been in the past that are kind of first time exhibitors, a few of which we've just mentioned. SPI coming back after 15, 20 years. Zimworks was an interesting company, and I got to know them a little better just because they sponsored my speaking event on Tuesday. But Zimworks is another entrant in the space, providing additional overflow staffing support across the globe. So I was talking with the executive of that company, and it's interesting to hear that, you know, some solutions we kind of think, well, our industry is so special, et cetera. In some ways it is, but in some ways, you know, what we face every day are just business problems that need to be solved, the same as everybody else. And Zimworks was talking about, you know, bringing to our market the same sort of solutions that for them have worked really well for dental offices, for veterinarian offices, et cetera. So there is, you know, when we look to business solutions, there's a lot of crossover, a lot of things we can learn from other people. So that was a nice takeaway for me, getting to know that team a little better.
Where do you guys think that, Pete, where do you guys think that the conference missed the mark? Or what do you think that didn't do well?
Oh, that is a good
I have my answer,
question.
But I want to hear yours.
So do I.
You kick off.
We're just
going to
stare we're just going to stare at Bianca until she comes up with hers first. We're going to put her on the spot.
No way. I got to warm up. Give me your takes first.
So, first of all, I'll denote this by saying that I was busier at this conference than I have been in many, many other conferences.
Yes.
I was stacked with meetings. I went to lots of sessions, which I never really go to a lot of sessions. I went to several sessions. So from that standpoint, like, I can't complain because I was busy and we probably, you know, we talked to lots of new clients for IQ. I really feel they're missing the mark on some of the educational stuff. I feel that the mid-year is such a great conference for legal updates, legislative stuff, and that. This one felt very heavy on the legal stuff and not enough on the how do I grow my business stuff, because, you know, this is a declining market. You know, most background screening companies as a whole aren't exploding in volume right now. In fact, the sense I got from a lot of CRAs is it's kind of a downturn. I think we owe it to ourselves as an association to not only allow attendees to come to the exhibit hall to see new products and see what's happening in the industry from that regard, but teaching them how to sell it. So I really feel it was light on how do I grow my business? What can I learn from my colleagues here around the room? How to do business better? I really feel like they're missing the mark on that kind of thing.
Well, the good news is those are our sessions.
Right.
At least, you know, mine, I do some variation of that every single conference. Of course, I'm, you know, proud and honored and grateful for the opportunity for us to share our thoughts. You know, that's where we fit in. So I'm happy to do it. The legal comment you mentioned, I actually heard from somebody there, and I did not expect to hear like the strength of this opinion, right? But this person's opinion is basically like, I'm mad, and I'll speak out of both sides of my mouth here. They're like, I'm upset that there are so many lawyer-focused slots. And my thought was like, well, you know, she's like, that's what the mid-year's for. And I'm like, well, the mid-year's kind of the same. And this person's opinion was like, I brought my people here to learn the background check industry, not for like the nuanced legal stuff. And I get that. So I thought, you know, differentiation between the annual and the mid-year. The other side of my mouth, as somebody who has peer reviewed conference submissions and helped rate and help the education committee kind of pick who speaks, I've seen a little of that from the inside as well. And, you know, if there's a conference, the mid-year, I'll use mid-year as an example, you know, the layout at the Marriott, you can only work with what you have. So the DC, it's a smaller space. So here we were able to have like five or six sessions concurrently. In DC, it's usually like three. You can only work in, and so you're looking for 12 slots and there's like 60 submissions. But what are those submissions? They're the lawyers and they're the vendors, especially drug screening. So the other side of my mouth says for the education committee, you can only work with who submits. So I see both sides. But then if I go back to the original point, the idea of new attendees, that person whom I talked to was like, Like, I brought my people here to learn, and we went through all 3 days, and we only found four things that would be appealing to them. So.
Kevin, you look perfect. No pixelation.
Yes.
Wow. Very handsome.
Yes, my wife.
Very demure.
Those things are true all the time. But all right, where were we? I had to move inside because of bandwidth right. and storage issues.
So we are back. We had some technical difficulties. Kevin has moved locations, so we're ready to rock and roll. All right. So I was talking about the conference sessions, and what I really felt that they were all mostly very reactive to things happening, like legal stuff, compliance things, other than being proactive. So what I was talking about, Les Fishman, our old partner, is that he always talked about stop. You get yourself in trouble when you're always fighting fires and not being proactive with your business. So I kind of feel like there should be some more proactive things in the sessions leading to people being able to grow their businesses. Now, why am I not so disappointed about it? Because that's what we do, and that's fine. And we'll continue doing that, and our listeners will continue enjoying that, hopefully. So we'll fill that gap for PBSA in the meantime.
Yeah, I have no original thoughts, like no original notes on complaints, but yeah, for sure, heavy compliance stuff, heavy legal stuff, and so that does kind of stink. You're kind of scrolling through and trying to figure out like which sessions I need to go to, and can be a bit repetitive there. I think that like I was gonna say this as a highlight, but I think maybe. You know, we can turn it into a file at a complaint, Bianca's complaint. Kevin's room wasn't big enough. Literally, there was standing room only in there.
Thank you.
I think to that point, and not only that, Patty gave you your flowers in there. You got a great shout out from SPI. I mean, it doesn't get better than that, really. Just saying, like, what a wonderful job you've done with your clients and really them specifically. And, you know, she's been around forever. And so that speaks volumes. And I think it also speaks volumes with just the fact that it was literally standing room only in there. It was completely overcrowded. It was incredibly engaged. People were talking to each other, talking to you, just absolutely bombarded you afterwards. And, you know, those only happen in sessions where people are really tuned in and engaged, and it's really important to them, right? Like it was something that they really needed to learn about and to hear about. And that's the core of what you talked about in terms of, improving your operationals and your business strategy, really, for CRAs in particular, but of course, even just adjacent custom companies. So I think that's just like a really good demonstration of like the demand and the need for those kind of conversations. Now, that being said, to your point with, you know, review selection and things like this, it is tough, right? Because you have legal stuff coming in, and that's always strong because it's a little more factual, people can trust it, things like that. A lot of vendors submit proposals too, to speak. I've been one of those before, and it's hard to not have your topic be a sales pitch. And I know PBSA wants to avoid that, you know, is like you just don't want, you know, a proper product demo. And it takes some true creativity, just like the booth experience, to come out and to have a really solid, like, educational conversation that is adjacent to your topic, or even just like market yourself or your executive as a thought leader. And so, I mean, that's what we've been spending some time with some of our clients, just about like improving their presence at PBSA, how to really position that, how to do that. So I think it'll be interesting, especially because it felt like such a more engaged conference. I think this next year we'll find a lot of folks like having that conversation. Okay, like how do I up my game and up my presence and things like that?
I agree.
Can I ask you guys, because both of you were in my session, and my question and what we're talking about for everybody listening, my question's not about my session. My question's about something I said in my session and how these guys thought it resonated. So you were pretty dialed in, Bianca, to what we were talking about. I got 50% of Jason's attention, mostly because that's just always how it goes with Jason. And he's heard the same stuff for 20 years. So
he was busy.
I don't have a whole lot of new things to say that Jason hasn't heard since like 2005. But, you know, a lot of things that we talk about, like even us as a group, right? Very aspirational, very much. This is who you can be. you don't have to live with who you are, right? Very motivating, very uplifting. We are in a risk management business and we are wired to look for risk. So I think it is natural for us to be glass half empty. And what we try and bring is like glass half full. There's one thing I am always really, I'm not even like glass half empty. I'm almost like you got the bottom last sips of water out of your canteen. Don't wait. Like I'm really glass half empty on this. And it's the idea that kind of like build your teams like sports teams do. Sports teams don't finish 10 games out of first place and just run it back next year. Football teams don't go 4-12 and keep their head coach and their general manager and their quarterback. In sports, teams are always looking to improve. I'm not a huge believer in rehabilitation, especially if you have team members that have performed the same way for 3 or 4 years. Like, you know what you got, right? There's M&A in the space. There's consolidation. There are layoffs. There are so many good people in the space. I am always advocating companies to look to acquire better talent than what you have. And I feel like when I say that, it's like crickets. And I get it. It's like super cold. It's completely different than what I usually espouse. But I'm a huge believer in just like, I'll call it what it is. Fire your crappy people and hire all-stars. Because all-stars want to work with all-stars. And they're either going to leave or they're going to become crappy people because they see that's what you tolerate. It's very hard for me to understand why people don't go get great people and get rid of ones that stink.
Yep. So you draft the best player.
But my thought, like that's harsh. And you're right, Bianca. I mean, you heard me say that. Jane's heard me say it for 20 years. How does that land, right? As somebody that hasn't heard me that for 20 years, how does that land to you? How does that land in the audience?
It lands deep in my soul, Kevin, and let me tell you why. It took me a while, and I mean, after operating small businesses outside of this industry and then operating one within this industry, it took me a very long time to learn the art of firing people.
Yeah.
And it's there's so many layers to it, right? And not for nothing. I mean, you're talking to somebody that had to fire her entire company with the Fama acquisition, right? And I will say this, and not just tooting my own horn, but to know that there's a way you can practice and learn and get better. Because when those firings, those layoffs, those terminations, whether, you know, whatever the circumstances is behind them, when they become necessary, you know, one of the things I'm proudest of when I ran social intelligence is the fact that after those terminations, those people said thank you to me. Those people send me beautiful notes all the time and tell me how much, you know, my, you know, ability to work with them during this process was helpful for them and looking out for their well-being. So it is a very hard thing to do. It is very hard to do. It unfortunately takes practice. It unfortunately takes, you know, getting it wrong a couple times. But I think that that's a real fear. I mean, it's a real, real fear for us all. Nobody wants to be responsible for
ending
someone's livelihood.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be responsible for that. It sucks.
I don't go on that huge rant because I'm indifferent to the people impact.
Well, and that being said, I mean, it's necessary, and it is the only way your company can grow. And the only reason I was able to do all of those terminations well in 2023 is because of the years before that I had practiced, you know, doing it before. It also comes down to hiring, you know, and really knowing where you are in your business, who you need. And Kevin, I have heard you say this, maybe not as many times as Jason has heard it, but it is certainly about like, not, you know, I don't know how to say this without being really rude, but so I'll try the best that I can, but it's like, you know, but using your baseball or sports analogy, like, you know, getting a good deal on a player, right? Is you get what you pay for, meaning that like if you're trying to take the cheap way out of it or think like, oh, like he's green, but you know, he's got potential, like that kind of thing never works out. Like it's along the lines of your rehabilitation thought, but it's kind of like, I can make a whatever out of you person, hiring somebody on pure potential. And, you know, sometimes you have to take a risk, but like, that's a trap. That is a trap that takes you just right down that road of having people in your company that just aren't the best ones for the
And
role.
it's not fair to
Yeah,
you.
I. Right.
No.
Go ahead, Jason.
I would say we could do a whole session on this because there's lots to talk about when it comes to people. And, you know, I've had the conversation. I think I said it during my session. You know, people say, I want to buy a company. I want to buy a company. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just hire a couple salespeople? It's cleaner and easier.
Sure,
It's going to
sir.
be less pain.
Yeah.
So
Do
I think we
you
could.
remember our, yeah, before we pivot, do you remember our So Do You? Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I was going to bring that up. I mean, people
Yeah.
have heard this on this podcast before, but you know, Kevin gave me some great advice 25 years ago. He was one of the first people that we really had to. I mean, I had to fire her. I think it was me that fired her. Maybe it was you. I don't know. But it
We were
was a
both
woman,
fired,
and you
yeah.
know, I couldn't fire people. I was just terrible at it. And she had two young kids, and I felt she was horrible at her job. But I just felt terrible about it. I was like, Kevin, I don't think I can do this. She's got two kids. And he looks at me and he goes, so do you. And that put it all into context. So she was going to take the whole company down.
It
So
sucks though. It
it
sucks.
sucks. It's the worst.
It
It's the
is.
worst.
It's the absolute worst. But there is a way, people, listen now. Like, there is a
Yeah.
way that you can navigate through those really tough, really difficult, awkward, awful feelings, nerve-wracking things. And everybody comes out on the other side, and it's actually really good for everybody. Because yes, so do you, and so does Kevin, and so do other people at your company who are also relying on you. So yeah, these things have to happen. And to that person, I'm sure they went off and they thrived, you know, somewhere else.
That can happen.
And
We
as
got
long
as
as we
many
can help
stories
them
about
through.
that. Yeah,
Yep. Yeah.
that's the glass half full part of it, right? You can
And
release
this is the
somebody
stuff
and
we need to talk about more at PBSA.
yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, if
So
you're a chief operating officer, you shouldn't
let's.
spend all your time scraping the mold off the cheese and then putting it on a charcuterie board thinking it's freaking fabulous. Like,
Right.
you got to just go buy new cheese, man. Throw it away. All
Wow, that was
right. I got
beautiful.
metaphors for days, Bianca. All right, what's
Let's get back
next?
to the conference before we wrap up. You know, some things that I kind of sensed or saw while we were there. A lot of new companies getting into the data game.
Yes.
You
Yeah.
know, first we had Equifax, they bought a couple up, and then you had Informed Data trying to get into that space. But with Checker kind of getting rid of their whole Tessera data crew, Keoki Huffman, who used to run that business and had sold his business to Tessera, he started a new data company with a couple of guys. IDI is getting into the game hardcore. I think I heard Samba might be getting into national
I
databases.
know someone
So
else that
lots
hasn't
of.
even popped on the radar yet with big plans to do the same.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I see that as being something that we're going to start seeing more and more of. You know, on one hand, you say to yourself, why? The market's not necessarily growing. But a way a lot of these data providers operate is they license their data to CRAs directly. So if they can get a recurring revenue stream by giving bulk data files to selling bulk data files to CRAs, I think we'll then go from having or trying to find the cheapest data to finding the best data.
And
And
now
there'll be
you're
a
in the
race to the
SaaS
top
game,
with that.
baby, which everybody wants to do. Yeah, I do wonder and worry around the more traditional research methods. There will always be a time, a place, and a need. But man, it's really hard to compete on I don't want to call it antiquated, but I'll call them historical research methods when there are so many different options out there with little to no impact other than cost and time. And, you know, that doesn't mean that there aren't legitimate places in which one method is preferable over the other. I'm talking about kind of that head-to-head. New, fancy, flashy, less expensive, that's going to win. So I do think a lot about those vendors. And to Jason's point about, hey, why are people getting in the game? There's a lot of people in the game. Yeah, but it's still a multi-billion dollar supply chain. I'm going to go get my piece, even if it's a small piece.
And
1,000%.
grow the pie.
Grow
This
pie.
isn't a zero-sum game, people. You know, we're all trying to grow the pie to some degree. One quick thought on just the kind of upgrading
Sure.
your upgrading your style and your methodologies, not just in operations, but shout out Andy Hellman for his AI in your everyday job
Yes.
presentation. I only caught like the tiniest bit of it, but I really appreciate that topic, just that take on the topic, not like, there's other AI conversations about, the legal, being protective over that. And those are important things to think about, especially in terms of operations and compliance and things like that. But listen, folks, it's 2024, like catch up. We've got to start leveraging these tools and not just ways that you think about for research and for report data, but in your everyday life, your marketing
Yes.
team, not just your marketing team, your sales, I mean, it's across the entire board. And we can all benefit from, I think, kind of upgrading how we do business and how we operate. And if we want to be, players in SaaS, we'll call it SaaS adjacent. We'll have the SaaS conversation maybe another time. SaaS adjacent world. And in this fast paced thing, this is a really important one. So thank you, Andy, for bringing it to the floor
For sure.
here.
Yeah, I
Because I
think
think
what
it's important.
people are going to be, the people that don't embrace it are going to be surprised very, very soon. And these things get adopted so quickly in technology. You know, your PC, Microsoft PC now has Copilot, and your Mac, as of another month from now, is going to have AI built into that too.
Yes.
So you're going to be used to all these AI tools, yet you're going to go into your background screening operating system and have zero. It's just like the DocuSign example I've used for years. You know, I DocuSign came out, some people quickly adopted it, and then I was dealing with law firms and CPAs that don't have it, and the last thing I want to do is sign and print something and scan it back into the
Scan it
system when I could
back.
do
Get
it
out of here.
so easily. So, you know, people, things go from being a luxury to an expectation very quickly with
Yes.
technology.
Yes. The mythical home printer hooked up to a wireless system that actually works. Like, you find me one of those, I'll print and scan, man. But otherwise, DocuSign. I was a little, and I wasn't able to see Andy's, but I did try and dip into a couple of the AIs. I was a little disappointed because and I'm viewing this from the lens of the attendees. I think what attendees are looking for is, how are companies using AI? Like, okay, it does this. Oh, it does this. And the content that I saw was kind of like, well, here are the HR dangers of of AI in HR, and here's what some of the laws are about AI, and that piece that I think was really relevant. And if there was a session that I missed, you know, then that's on me. But it's I think screeners are looking for the, okay, well, how do you use it, and how does it help you? And I didn't see that at this show. Another one that I was sad to miss. I heard and was excited to see Duncan Carey and Aaron Novak's of Uber's presentation on end users. A couple weeks out from the show, they asked me to speak, and I said, not only can I not join you on the panel, you're at the same time as mine, so I can't even go to it. So I hope those that were able to go to it got a lot out of it, and I'm not offended that you didn't come see ours. That was one that I also heard, you know, very well attended and very helpful.
Yeah, always love hearing from end users. I mean, that's, I think everybody can appreciate
Yeah,
that for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. And every time I see an end user, I want to hug them. Like, thank you for caring so much to come to our industry conference. And, you
I
know, to
know, right?
Jason's point about new networks, new opportunities, you know, from a vendor standpoint, we don't have to just sell to CRAs or end users, or like, there's a lot of second level, third level adaptivity with our products and our services that aren't just, you know, doesn't just have to be selling through this narrow pipe anymore. It's a lot of opportunities, and you're not always going to grow by just jamming a vendor on price or undercutting, you know, for in a competitive bid. Like Bianca said it very well, grow the pie, just expand it. And that's stuff I think there always needs to be an audience for that.
Here,
Final
here.
thoughts before we wrap up, guys? Final thoughts. Again, great conference. You know, there was some rumors and news going around. I think you'll see more acquisitions in the next 2 quarters, especially with interest rates dropping, but there's some deals brewing out there. A lot of talent available. So give us a call for the talent. And really, I had a ton of conversations about the industry report. So there's a lot of interest there too, which in that report keeps evolving as well. So great to see everybody. And I'm, you know, already looking forward to the midyear. Final
My
thoughts for you,
final thoughts,
Bianca?
Along the similar line, it just felt like so. I love the energy. Like it really was a lot of fun, and I really miss that. I mean, in between like pregnancies and COVID over the past couple of years, having babies really gets in the way
And
sometimes of your fun travel.
tell everyone the state of the lager house when you left.
Oh yes, update for everybody. So everybody that heard me speak any amount heard me probably say my kids had hand, foot, and mouth, and San Diego was experiencing a massive heat wave. It was 105 degrees where I live, and our AC broke, and I had to leave my poor husband alone with our sick kids in absolutely sweltering heat. I could never be me. I would have checked into a hotel a long time ago. My husband totally, just stuck it out. Everybody is well. Air conditioner worked before I landed, and of course it's back to its mid-70s. However, I broke my wrist on the way out of the plane, so that is just too bad. So just drama, drama, drama in the Lager household. It never ends. But that's okay. With the sacrifices that we make for PBSA, they're so necessary. My other final thoughts are to say that iCubed has a new website. And we were I was also, if anybody heard me speak at all to everybody, those are my talking tracks. How my kids were doing, my AC, and the fabulous new website that we created at iCube. So please do check it out. I hope you enjoyed the show. It was so good seeing so many of my friends that I hadn't seen in a while. So looking forward to seeing you probably in DC, hopefully.
Yep,
And
and
hopefully we
could
get a good new revamp, for DC. We're getting some new energy there too.
Yes, and kudos to the help, by the way, Bianca, for the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a great show, a lot of energy, completely different than DC. I was excited going in, and I couldn't understand why. I'm like, why am I so excited? Yeah, relative, but and I was twice as excited coming out. I agree with Jason, busiest conference ever.
Shout out Tim Gordon. Congrats, Mr. Chairman. Probably why the energy is so positive
Yes.
on at the conference. What a great guy, and we're looking forward to a year of his reign, aren't we?
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. Until we behead him. Just kidding, Tim. We won't do that to you. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for
Thanks,
joining. Talk to you
everybody.
soon.